said Tom, the kid who had originally hassled Quiddenbach and myself. I palmed a few notes and slapped them on the table before Tom's goggle-eyed face. "She is now," I said, and pushed on through to the tent's inner chamber. It was dark, but it took only a second or two for the room's interior to snap into view, as if someone had turned on a very faint grey lantern. Dominica was sleeping on her operating couch, her generous anatomy shrouded in a garment which might have begun life as a parachute. "Wake up," I said not too loudly. "You've got a customer." Her eyes opened slowly like cracks in swelling pastry. "What is this? You got no respect?" The words came out quickly, but she sounded too lethargic to register real alarm. "You ain't come barging in here?" "My money seemed to cut some ice with your assistant." I dredged up another note and flashed it in front of her face. "How does this look to you?"
"I don't know. I can't see nothing. What's wrong with your eyes? Why they like that?"
"There's nothing wrong with my eyes," I said, and then wondered how convincing I sounded to her. After all, Laurent had said something similar, and it was a long time since I had experienced any difficulty seeing in the dark. I extinguished that line of thought, unsettling as it was, and kept up the pressure on Dominica. "I need you to do a job for me and to answer a few questions. That's not asking too much, is it?" She propelled her bulk from the couch, fitting her lower reaches into the steam-powered harness which waited by her side. I heard a hiss of leaking pressure as it took her bulk. Then Dominica moved away from the bed with all the grace of a barge.
"What kind job? What kind questions?"
"There's an implant I need removing. Then I need to ask some questions about a friend of mine."
"Maybe I ask you questions about friend too."
I had no idea what she meant by that. But before I could ask, she had turned on the tent's interior light, exposing her waiting instruments, clustered around the couch, which I now saw was spattered with faint rusty scabs of dried blood of varying vintage and hue.
"But that cost two. Show me implant."
I did, and after examining it for a few moments, her sharp, thimbled fingers digging into the side of my head, she seemed satisfied.
"Like game implant, but you're still alive."
Evidently that meant it could not possibly be a game implant, and for a moment there was no faulting her logic. After all, how many of the hunted ever stood a chance of making it back to Madame Dominica and having the trace removed from their skulls? "Can you remove it?"
"If neural connection shallow, no problem."
Saying this, she guided me to the couch and swung a viewing device in front of her eyes, chewing her lower lip as she peered into my skull.
"No, neural connection shallow, barely reach cortex. Good news for you. But look like game implant. How it get there? Mendicants?"
Then she shook her head, the rolls of flesh around her neck oscillating like counterweights.
"No, not mendicants. Unless you lied to me yesterday, when you say you no have implants. And this insertion wound new, not even day old."
"Just get the damn thing out," I said, "or else I walk out of here with the money I've already given the kid."
"That you can do, but you no find better than Dominica. That not threat. That promise."
"Then do it," I said.
"First you ask question," she said,
levitating around the couch to prep her other instruments, swapping her thimbles with impressive dexterity. She carried a pouch of them somewhere down in the infolded complexity of her waist, finding those she wanted by touch alone, without cutting or pricking her fingers in the process. "I have a friend called Rivage," I said. "He arrived a day or two ahead of me, and we've lost touch. Revival amnesia, the mendicants said.